Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. We are really excited to have all of you here. I'm Kellen, one of the Starship at Partnership Managers, and I will be hosting today's webinar. We like to keep these webinars short and valuable. So before I introduce our expert panels, let's go over a bit of housekeeping. In this webinar, we're going to unbox the shipping trends that leading retailers are implementing in 2024. These are based off our findings in our Evolving Expectations report. Don't worry if you haven't had the chance to read through the report. That's okay. We'll outline key points and unpack trends and strategies the retailers are using to keep pace with evolving customer expectations. During our panel discussion, our shipping gurus will draw upon these experiences in exceeding customer expectations and highlight key strategies that you can implement to enhance your fulfillment and delivery process. Okay, so some housekeeping notes. We'll be hosting a live Q&A with our experts after the panel discussion. So if you have any questions throughout the session, please put these in the Q&A chat and we'll answer them. Remember, there's no bad questions. Our experts are here to help you and your shipping and fulfillment strategies. Also, this webinar will be recorded, so keep an eye on your inbox to share the recording with your network. Okay, right, that's enough of me. Let's introduce our panelists. Jeff, would you like to kick it off?
Sure. So hi, everyone. I'm Jeff Luke. I'm the head of customer success here at Starshipit. I've been with Starshipit for just under 4 years now, so in the tech space. And before that, I worked for a big shipping company with some international experience as well. So lots of wealth and knowledge to draw on, hopefully, and hopefully can give some people some good advice as well.
Great. Laura?
Hi. Lovely to be here, Kellen. I'm Laura Hill, Managing Director of Sendal Australia. I have been with the business coming up on 3.5 years, and prior to that I was in marketplaces before joining Sendal. So it's great to be in the world of shipping, and I'll pass it back to you.
Awesome. Great to have you. And James? Muted. Nate, you're on mute. Sorry.
Hey, Kellen. Thanks very much for having us. I'm James Fisher, co-founder of Render. Started the business 5 years ago with my co-founder, Greg. We're a retail fulfillment solution working with ANZ retailers to allow them to deliver a promising experience to customers through last mile delivery.
Awesome. Great. Right. With that, I will stop sharing. It's just all of our lovely faces now, and we'll kick things off. Our first question is, what are the biggest trends you're seeing with evolving customer expectations around shipping and fulfillment in 2024? And can you give us any examples? James, would you like to start on that one?
Absolutely. I think, look, we live in a world where sort of the e-commerce retail landscape is constantly evolving. There's always different things popping up. Left, right, and center. So in terms of the trends that we see, particularly in our space, which is the last mile space and the logistics fulfillment space, one of the key trends is a lot of retailers are now utilizing their stores as micro fulfillment centers to begin to ship from store to get a lot more close to the customer, providing them a more memorable experience. Additionally, what retailers are starting to do as well is provide customers with that highest level of choice. In a world where express and standard delivery was the norm, a lot of retailers are now involving more faster services into their mix, whether that's same day or sub 3 hour, 2 hour delivery, which is really promising to see because customer expectations have continued to evolve. So being able to meet those demands is a huge part of retailers' businesses. And then the last thing as well, which I think the team at Sendal can probably talk to a bit further, is a lot of retailers are more conscious about their environmental impact, how they're impacting the environment throughout their whole fulfillment chain. It's been really insightful to see in a number of discussions with retailers over the past year, how they prioritize the environment and how they can feed that back into the way they do fulfillment.
Awesome. Yeah. Laura?
Yeah, look, just to recap, Sendal obviously is in the logistics space. We're a small business courier. And what we're seeing from our customers this year is that, you know, we hear it all the time in the media, but price is a really key part of, businesses at the moment as that continued cost pressures that they face. In fact, our survey that's yet to be released actually has price as cost savings as the biggest driver for our businesses this year and how they're going to manage their business. In fact, 41% say they're going to look at their pricing strategy as a way to manage their costs. However, what we're also seeing is it's not just the business themselves looking for cost savings or affordable shipping, it's also the buyers. So we're seeing a lot of buyers seek out affordable shipping. We know the cost of shipping or the time of shipping can result in cart abandonment. So more businesses are looking to put in free shipping with minimum spends, which does work in converting those customers. But if people are paying for their delivery service, you know, that's where they expect that reliability in the service if they're paying for it. And that transparency is really crucial as a part of that. The other part that we're seeing, and James threw me one there, is that sustainability piece being really a top priority for small businesses. 32% said they're going to proactively seek to make more sustainable choices within their business. And 15% want to focus on reducing carbon footprints specifically within their businesses. So, you know, demand is huge for sustainability. It's also price are two of the, you know, key trends we're seeing within our area.
Awesome. Yeah. Jeff, you're obviously really amongst it as head of customer success. What have you seen with Starship at customers?
To be honest, I tend to split this answer out a little bit and talk to two different perspectives. One being a smaller business, you know, maybe just starting up kind of perspective, where what we're seeing is more and more customers are expecting better and more informed notifications around their shipments. So when they're coming, when they're going to get there, is it on its way, all that sort of thing. Seeing more adaptation of more carriers across their shipment. So whether that be a small package to a large package difference or a standard versus an express courier. But, you know, averaging now, I think among our customer base for smaller shippers, somewhere around 1.9 couriers per business. So there's definitely an uptake there in splitting strategies across different carriers. And then from the bigger business perspective, so your kind of enterprise multi-location retailers, definitely seeing ship from store strategies being rolled out more and more, especially over the last 12 months and continuing to do so in the next 12 as well. We're already talking with a number around how they can roll that out to be more efficient. Like James said, with that kind of closer, better speed of delivery, more sustainable as well, because there's not as much fuel being used, all that sort of thing. As well as the same day and evening deliveries. Personally, I remember sitting on a webinar and having conversations with people probably somewhere between 12 to 18 months ago going, same day, it's just a fad, it's not going to be much. But now definitely seeing more and more retailers pick that up, and it's also starting to trickle down as well. So not only is it the big guys, the big players that have got locations everywhere, it's the smaller players as well that are just trying to do and feed out to their local markets in a much more timely manner. And, you know, that comes from ultimately people's customers. Like, they're demanding that. They want it. They're willing to pay for it. So retailers are needing to feed into that and have it as an option for their customers.
Awesome. Yeah. So I feel like we're seeing more and more retailers adopting a multi-courier strategy. What are the key benefits and challenges of this type of strategy, and how do they contribute to optimizing the delivery process? James, do you want to get this one?
Absolutely. Look, I think when you look at multi-courier strategies, there's two real parts to a multi-courier strategy. There's the standard multi-courier, which provides you the ability to take advantage of a number of delivery providers. And then there's the second part, which is that orchestration of those providers. I think when you look at the key benefits of a multi-courier strategy, the number one that sticks out is the carrier redundancy layer. It allows you to obviously utilize multiple providers to obviously give paramount coverage, to reach more customers, to obviously take advantage of your store network, but also to take advantage of potentially a nationwide store network as well that a single provider may not be able to do. Every delivery provider have their own set of capabilities, has their own set of limitations. By bringing it together under a multi-carrier solution, it obviously allows you to be provided with that ultimate reliability. In addition to that, obviously utilizing a multi-courier strategy allows you to sort of diversify your delivery options. As I mentioned before, standard, express, it also allows you to potentially tap into delivery providers that offer a more faster service, whether that's a same day or sub 3 hour, 2 hour delivery option, which is really exciting. Something that we do at Render, which is very much different to sort of the standard multi-courier world, is we very much prioritize the orchestration, the delivery orchestration, extremely data-driven in the way we allocate carriers and the way we allocate carriers for particular deliveries. An example of this is obviously a case study we have internally. We've worked with a number of enterprise ANZ retailers, one of them being the likes of Chemist Warehouse. And Chemist Warehouse came to us with an issue they had with regard to their regional and remote coverage and their store network in regional and remote areas not being able to be serviced by a fast delivery offering. And the ability for our solution as a delivery orchestration platform that has integrated obviously multiple providers onto our network allows a retailer like that to obviously continue to service their metro customers, but also take advantage of capabilities of our platform that allows them to tap into their regional and remote locations as well to give a consistent and compelling experience to their customers. So that's probably the main benefits. But in terms of looking at the challenges with utilizing a multi-courier strategy, because it's obviously not all perfect and there are some things to keep in mind, obviously utilizing multiple couriers can cause operational inefficiencies because you obviously got to be across every provider and what every provider does, which obviously ties back into my orchestration point, which is making sure that if you are going to use a multi-courier provider that you do have the rules embedded, that you do have the bells and whistles in place to ensure that the providers are allocated based on obviously the requirements of that delivery, because in the event where a multi-courier strategy is taken advantage of by a retailer, they need to make sure that it's a unified experience to then in turn provide a consistent experience for their customers.
Awesome. Yeah. Laura, what about multi-carrier for Sendal?
Yeah, look, what we're seeing with our customers, and as I touched on before, with that rising costs and inflation, small businesses are definitely looking more closely at how they ship. They're demanding more competitive pricing, added convenience, and not surprising, they're switching. But 53% of our customers use a multi-courier strategy. So to James's point, yes, very popular choice for businesses. I think the real benefits that come from a multi-courier strategy is that cost and speed. Allows you to optimize for the weight, for the route, obviously delivery times, and it really gives you the best outcome for your business, but also ensures that you can deliver that great customer experience, which we know shipping can influence quite a lot. But it is challenging. And I think, you know, all credit to Starshipit. This is some of the advantages that your platform can help customers with, taking away that complexity. As James said, having those rules in place, and it really allows you to simply optimize your carrier mix by using platforms like Starshipit.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, Jeff, did you have anything to add to that one?
Yeah, to be fair, I couldn't really have said that better myself. but yeah, definitely seeing, especially when it comes to a cost benefit for retailers, being able to choose that option that is the most cost efficient to them, but also potentially seeing those delivery timeframes to get to those, like, let's say far-flung places. So whether it's like out in Perth or something like that in Australia, which is a long way away, but you know, you can make a decision going, choice between, okay, am I going to choose the cheapest option or am I going to choose the quickest option, and making that choice for yourself as a retailer, and then or passing that on to your customers as well. But then, as James kind of touched on as well, that redundancy side of it as well. So what we see is a lot of retailers like to have that fallback option potentially. As you know, we are a little bit past COVID now, but it definitely came into its own during that COVID period where, you know, shippers were inundated with packages going around, and sometimes that led to delays. So being able to switch between different couriers because one had a delay and the other one didn't just meant that the ultimately, as a business owner, their customer's experience was, you know, the top of mind. So they would be able to choose which one suited their business and made it sure that they were seen in a good light as well.
Awesome. So Laura, I've actually got a question here for sustainability that I think will be a good one for you. It's sustainability is a major concern for today's consumers. How are shipping practices adapting to becoming more environmentally friendly? And what does technology and what role does technology play in this shift? Do you have any recommendations on where retailers should begin when introducing sustainability into their shipping processes?
That's a big question, Helen. All right.
We can break that down into two parts if you want.
Let's unpack that one. So, look, first up, I think technology plays a really important role across all sectors from a sustainability perspective, and you're seeing that everywhere. But if we look specifically at transportation and logistics, as an industry, we're responsible for 22% of the carbon emissions in Australia. So, technology and companies like Sendal have a really big role to play in trying to reduce that. The most pressing challenges, I guess, from an industry perspective, is our dependence on fossil fuel to deliver everything. And we heard that come out in terms of the sustainability aspect of delivering from store. But you know, a lot of it comes down to increasing the load utilization. We know there's lots of trucks that aren't running to their capacity, optimizing the routes that these trucks are taking, and reducing unnecessary air shipments. Air is a very carbon intensive model. So this is really where Sendal's model started, is about tapping into those existing infrastructure and ensuring maximum utilization, combined with the fact that we offset every the carbon of every parcel. So in the 10 years that we've been around, we've offset over 40 billion kilometers of delivery. So lots
That's
more that
amazing.
can be done. We're committed to net zero as a business, but you know, in terms of where retailers can begin their journey, I think, you know, adopting a sustainable shipping practice has a ripple effect through your organization. It really gives the business concrete actions to communicate to their customers, and we know that customers are gravitating towards sustainable options. You know, 32% of our customers said sustainability was a high priority for their business, and we're seeing that also on the buyer side. They're picking retailers based on their sustainability credentials. And then I think a couple of other quick ones. You know, returns is obviously a hot topic within the industry. It does increase the carbon intensity of those parcels, more things on the road. Packaging is another big part of the sustainability journey for retailers and a part of the shipping. In fact, 82% of our customers are looking to implement more sustainable packaging this year to help with their credentials. So they're just a few ways that you can start to think about it. You know, start small, every little bit helps, but there's a big role that we can all play within our industry to reduce that carbon intensity.
Absolutely. Yeah, Jeff, I know the packaging is definitely a big one for Starship customers. I'm sure you can speak a bit more to that.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, because in my mind, there's kind of two views to it, right? There's what can you do as a business yourself, and ultimately, you know, there's obviously whatever sustainable practices you have as a business, whether that be doing recycling, that sort of thing. But then the packaging, so what's going out the door, is probably one of the most important things. And I think some of the surveys we've done, close to 60% of the people that responded said they wanted to improve their packaging and use better packaging to show that they've got that sustainability, and also, you know, have that as an option, right? And talk to it, and then use a sustainable courier as well, that are making sure that they're at the forefront of that curve. Because like Laura alluded to, fossil fuels is one of the biggest contributors. But couriers out there now are using more and more electric vehicles. There's some really good electric trucks coming along the way as well. And you know, the next step for that is eco fuels, eco avgas, all that sort of thing that comes over time. So it's all everyone's focus, and it all starts internally for businesses and retailers. So just do what you can do and for yourself, and make sure that it's part of your practice as well.
Absolutely. No, that's great. So yeah, on to our next trend that we found from the report was delivery with speed. So 42% of our survey respondents agreed that customer expectations around delivery timeframes would be one of their biggest challenges in 2024. How have consumer expectations around delivery speed evolved in recent years? And what strategies have proven most efficient in meeting these demands? Does anyone want to chat to delivery speed? Is this one for you, James?
I'm happy to give this one a go because it's something we see every day. We obviously work with retailers to allow them to deliver in a more faster, reliable manner. But I think it's the age-old question that customers always ask. I want it fast and I want it free. But there is a price that has to be paid by either the retailer or the customer for that speed of delivery. What we see at Render is that speed does matter, but there's that level of certainty that matters a bit more. Customers obviously do want it at a faster pace, but they do want to know when they're going to be receiving that order. Obviously, in terms of reports we've done internally, we've seen 85% of customers say that a poor delivery experience would prevent them from shopping from that retailer again. And that's a huge part of the business, is providing that customer with the best experience possible. And part of that delivery experience has to include some level of speed, because you always get the questions, and I'm sure Laura can vouch for me, where is my order? Support tickets come through the roof. So being able to provide them a faster service sort of limits those support tickets, because it allows them to obviously get that point to point, as opposed to waiting potentially up to 3, 5, 7 days for that parcel. In terms of customers and sort of how their expectations have evolved, look, we're moving into a world where, from a retail point of view, they're trying to invest in infrastructure that allows them to do things like leverage their store networks, which doesn't just obviously improve it, sustainability, as we mentioned before, but also improve their ability to be able to meet customers' demands even further and provide them a more reliable, a more certain experience. So what we've seen is retailers are meeting those customers' demands by investing in technology that's allowing them to meet these customer demands. Whether that's technology such as Render to be able to provide that last mile experience, or also technologies like Starshipper to provide them that redundant nature along the whole fulfillment cycle from standard express and same day parcels. And I think that's going to continue to evolve. We see that retailers continually want to provide speed, provide same day options to their customers. And with customers, obviously, expectations evolving. Once one customer has that experience, they want it again and again, and they're going to keep wanting that. So retailers have to keep up and evolve their processes to be able to meet these demands that customers obviously are imposing.
Yeah, and that's even if Jeff reckons that same days are bad.
I think, look, once upon a time it could have been, but yeah. I think what retailers have to understand is if a customer has experienced it before, the experience that comes along with it is quite an amazing experience. And by doing things, as I mentioned before, for example, if you do impose a ship from store mentality, you actually are able to drive those costs down and get cost efficiencies to make it a more affordable proposition. Because a lot of people would be hesitant, a lot of retailers would be hesitant to utilize a same day service because of the cost, not just to them, but maybe to their customers. So if they have the ability to do things, as I mentioned before, it will allow them to drive that cost down to make it a more affordable proposition. And obviously to keep ahead with the market, because retailers are continually going to adapt their processes, find new things, try new things, see what works for their business.
Awesome. That was great. Thank you. Laura, how about delivery speed for Sendal? What are your thoughts?
Look, James touched on it. We know shipping plays such a critical part of a company e-commerce's success. But probably what we're seeing, you know, it's a lot about the affordability of shipping, not necessarily so much fast, which I think connects to where James was talking about, is it's really about the accuracy of the information you're giving the customer, be it your customer who's buying your shirt services, but then them passing that on to their receivers as well. And it's really about those accurate ETAs and really transparent tracking updates is what really goes towards, you know, that good experience. I think if you know that it's going to be, say, 5 days, for example, as long as that's clear up front, I think, you know, that the customer is okay with that if it's not something that they need urgently. Obviously, if they do, they've got that option to pick a faster service. So I think, yeah, that transparency and accuracy around transit times is really important. And we know from research that we've done that that kind of communication, retailers agree, like that's 46% of, you know, of their focus area in terms of impact on that customer experience is getting that information right. So I think speed is one part, but yeah, accuracy and transparency is the other key part to that experience. You've got to manage the expectations up front and everyone will be happy, and we hopefully mitigate those support tickets that James mentioned.
Yeah. All of the convenience of your parcel coming in 3 days evaporates if you're not there to get it and have to go and pick it up from somewhere. Do you have any thoughts on this one?
Funnily enough, I've actually got a story about this from a personal point of view. As Laura and James mentioned around setting the expectations. So last week, I was buying my wife a handbag for Mother's Day. From my daughters, but I bought it a little bit late, admittedly. But it just tied everything together really nicely. I was buying a handbag. The expectation was set that it was standard delivery, free. That's what I wanted. It was going to take 5 days. Great. Okay, cool. Might be here in time, might not be. Okay. The retailer I bought it off, I'll name them, why not? It was Status Anxiety. Now, okay. I know that they have implemented a ship from store. Okay. And I was expecting that it was going to come from Australia. It was going to take 5 days, you know, that sort of thing. Turns out they were shipping it from New Zealand. I got it in 2 days and it was here well before Mother's Day. So I was in the good books. But also my expectations were well and truly exceeded. I did get told it was on its way. So when I got that email the next day that it's left the store, you'll get it shortly. I was like, wow. Great. Yeah. But I just thought, like, it's a great example of what can be done from a retailer's perspective and how it can, you know, make a good experience even better. Now I'm talking about it. I've obviously talked about it with friends over the weekend as well. So that kind of story just evolves people's brands and enables them to be able to keep going and keep growing and pushing. So that's all I can kind of really say on that. I think that kind of says everything I needed to say.
I can actually attest to, because this is the second time I've heard this story, so he's genuinely buzzing. They've got a customer for life now. James, just kind of going back to ship from store, what factors do you think have contributed to the rise of ship from store as an emerging trend in retail?
Yeah, look, there's a number of factors. I think one of them is obviously what I've been touching on along the webinar, which is customer demand, customer expectations. Customers want it in a more certain manner, whether that's fast or more transparent, as Laura mentioned, because I think having that understanding of when I'm actually going to get my goods is important. But even in Jeff's case, obviously, if a retailer has the opportunity to ship that order from store, which could be closer to the customer than, for example, their warehouse in another location, it's giving that customer a better experience, but also dropping the delivery time of that order to obviously make promises, like your mum, I'm sure, who could have been at risk of missing that delivery. I think additionally, on top of customer demand for faster and more reliable delivery, retailers are investing in inventory management platforms to assist with visibility of their inventory to then allow them to unlock a ship from store mentality. Because I think one of the biggest challenges and something we find at Render is a big challenge for retailers to unlock ship from store is their inventory visibility, knowing where a particular piece of item is at a particular location to meet that customer's demand. For example, if your warehouse is based in Perth, you've got a store in, say, Melbourne, and that store has that item, has that white dress that woman has purchased, for example, for the weekend, rather than shipping it with a standard express service from that WA warehouse, if you have availability of that inventory at that Melbourne location, which is closer to the customer, there's all the reason to ship that order from that particular location, which obviously doesn't just drive the cost down, but also from a sustainability point of view, it's a much more sustainable approach, but also a customer experience. It gives that customer the opportunity to get that point-to-point service, whether it's a same day and a faster service. Mm-hmm. Just looking even at a power retail report that I came across, 60 to 80% of actually what we buy can be found within 10 kilometers of home, which further sort of emphasizes retailers and the emphasis on retailers to try and implement a ship from store strategy, to be able to give customers that opportunity to get that order on time every time. So I think they're sort of the main factors. I think customer demand, but also the ability to know where your stock is, know where your inventory is. I think that will unlock, and that does unlock the ability to then utilize your stores to fulfill.
Absolutely, yeah. Jeff, we had Ruby did a ship from store case study with us recently. I was wondering if like what your thoughts were on how their operational efficiency has improved since implementing ship from store.
To be funny, fair, it's just skyrocketed. So I actually worked closely with them as they were rolling this out, and it was ultimately about, it came from customer demand, right? So the whole Amazon effect, it's people want things, they want things more instantly. So by being able to have those mini fulfillment centers in each of their stores, they could offer that same day delivery, you know, for someone who wanted that dress for tonight to go out to that party, that sort of thing. And customers are willing to pay for it. So they've got that choice for people. And it's obviously benefited them from a cost perspective, but customer experience perspective, everything like that. So they've been able to see some really good efficiencies come from it. And, you know, their customer expectations have been met. But as the theme of this webinar is, it's about evolving expectations that from customers. They're constantly evolving, and that's what people are starting to expect now. Local, quick, efficient, all those sorts of things. So yeah, I think to say it simply, they've done it really well.
Definitely. You think about that quick delivery, being from the UK, I miss Amazon Prime every day. It was so good. Jeff, just one more for you actually. So the last expectation we have in the report was about choices at checkout. Can you discuss the importance of offering multiple delivery options at checkout and how this choice impacts customer satisfaction and conversion rate, please?
I think I colloquialize this a little bit when I talk to people about it. But customers, so buyers, don't want to be put in a corner. They want to have a choice. And that choice can be really simple with like standard versus express. It comes down to an age old saying of like alternate closing in sales. Give them a choice, you know, is it between standard or express? They're not pigeonholed. They're given that choice. The decision lies with them. And 82% of our survey respondents said like, this is one of the most important things to keeping customers, setting that expectation quickly, but then maintaining it throughout the entire purchasing and then delivery process. Because I think everyone should knows this or should know this, that, you know, it's 26 times easier to get repeat business than it is new business. So start that process early, give them the choice, give them options, even if it is just standard versus express. You know, the next step above that would be, you know, standard versus same day. There's so many options there, but it just comes down to what people want, and they want to be able to choose. They want to then have that expectation set and then met, and it just flows on from there. So definitely one of the biggest things I've seen over the course of the last 12, 18 months has been that options at checkout, rather than just having a flat rate, it's just being able to give differing options for your consumers, that's for sure.
That's so good. Yeah, thank you for that, everyone. It's awesome to kind of learn from you and from what you guys are finding. We've actually had a few questions come through, so let me just hang on, get that back up. So we've had Jeff, this is actually one for you. Is what are some of the things I should consider if I'm just starting an e-commerce business?
So many different things. So the biggest piece of advice I can think of is try and tick a lot of the boxes up front, right? When you're starting in an e-commerce business, I was literally talking to someone the other day, and she was talking to me about the amount of money that she spent on getting everything set up, choosing her suppliers, getting things photographed, getting the website set up. There's a lot that comes to it. And if you take on some of the tips that we've been offering here, give people choice at checkout, choose a courier or multi-courier strategy, you're giving yourself less to think about. And you can therefore, when you're launching it, focus on the sales. You've already spent the money. Focus on, like, use your time to focus on the sales. So make the choices early and then stick with them and let them run for a little bit. And, build yourself that time to be able to focus on growing the business, getting the sales. And that's probably the most kind of important piece of advice I can give people.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Thank you so much. Laura, can you provide some practical tips for businesses to improve their shipping process without significantly increasing costs or resources?
Oh, good question. I think the number one tip that we love to remind people about is your packaging. Don't pay for air. As much as it might look beautiful that this item turns up in a lovely big box with a ribbon and all these kinds of things, you're actually paying for that. So choose packaging that fits your product. You know, we've got a 250 gram product for that exact reason. A lot of small lightweight items are sold online. I think that's a great one. Saves you money both from a shipping perspective, and the cost of that packaging can be really high too. Know the margin on the products that you're selling, because then that can feed into other shipping strategies you might like to employ, be it free shipping to a certain threshold. And then Jeff touched on this, good communications. You know, it was very clear to Jeff up front that he was going to maybe just make Mother's Day with his purchase, but he knew that from the start. He took the risk, it paid off, he got the present early, and now they have probably a very loyal customer in Jeff for a future present, which leads into loyalty programs is another thing that retailers consider as well. And a lot of that can be connected to shipping if they're a member or a regular buyer of that particular brand. But yeah, just a couple of quick tips.
Jeff, I reckon you were lucky on that one, mate. got a question for you here, Jeff. With the rise of international e-commerce, what are some of the key challenges and best practices for managing international shipping? I'm looking to start shipping soon.
Don't fear it. It's not that hard. I hear a lot of people talking about international. It's quite difficult. There are tools, there are steps that you can follow, but it's ultimately about knowing your product and knowing the market that you want to grow into. And sometimes, you know, from Australia, it's just taking that little step into New Zealand and just, you know, understanding what the market like there and then expanding into the US. Obviously, the US is a much, much bigger market, but has some really good advantages to that around duties and taxes being not applied to a much higher order value level. So it's just a matter of, you know, understanding what your product is, understanding what the needs are from, you know, shipping, most importantly, but, you know, duties and taxes, HS codes, all that sort of thing around descriptions. And just taking the plunge. There's tools out there, especially if you've got that information in, let's say, a Shopify store already. More often than not, you've got a product description. You can have the weight of the goods. And then if you're using a tool like StarShipIt, then that information automatically comes in and therefore automatically goes across to the courier. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to think twice. It just becomes a natural progression and you're just opening yourself up to new sales avenues.
Yeah, awesome, great. I've got someone's said they hear the mention of same day delivery and asking about sort of freight part, like same day partners that we have. I can put you in touch with James after the webinar. that counts as a partnership lead, by the way. I'm joking. But yeah, that's fine. So we've got. So Laura, What role does customer experience play in shipping, and how can businesses use shipping as a competitive advantage to enhance customer loyalty?
Oh, I think we've probably talked about a fair bit of this throughout the other questions. I think it's a huge part of customer loyalty. Like we keep joking about Jeff's experience, he will be very loyal to that brand as a result of a very positive shipping experience. And I'm sure we can all attest to a great experience that we know of, we'll buy from them again. It has a crucial impact on that customer experience, the shipping experience. But I think, again, it goes back to that transparency, that accuracy, and providing those updates to really establish that trust and that repeat in your business.
So great, thank you. And I've got another one. You've kind of spoken to this already, but if you just kind of, how do you balance sustainability and cost saving?
Sure. Well, being green, as we like to say, doesn't have to cost the earth, but just start.
Love
the
that.
Journey.
Yeah.
And look, there's many great ways that I touched on earlier around ways you can save money, both in shipping, but also be sustainable. Look at your packaging type, packaging sizes. Look at your courier options, you know, sustainability, you know, we're 100% carbon neutral delivery service at Sendal. And as I said, it's not a trend. Your customers are expecting this more and more. And despite the cost pressures that businesses are experiencing and individuals are experiencing, we're still seeing that that's a key priority for consumers. So something for businesses to try and strike that balance, but just start. That's the one thing. Just start. Every little bit adds up. Doesn't need to be big. Just start the journey. And you'll learn along the way.
That's awesome. Thank you. And then Jeff, how can we keep our customers in the loop and happy when shipping delays occur, especially during peak seasons? Your favorite, peak season and delays.
Keep them notified. So I say that colloquially, but it's quite a simple thing, right? There are tools out there, both in Starshipper, outside of Starshipper, like Klaviyo and things like that, that you can use to keep your customers notified of delivery. And usually there's certain points of the delivery timeframe that meet the criteria, whether it's when the order's printed, when it's going out the door, when it's on the van with the courier, when it's actually been delivered. There's loads of different options there. Mm-hmm. But they can all be sent via an email, and there's some really good stats out there. Like, I think it keeps rising as well, that like 86% of customers are actually wanting to be kept informed of their delivery. Saves you as a retailer questions coming to you going, where is my parcel? But also keeps your customers informed, sets their expectations, and they'll know that it's on the way. They also have tracking links so they can go to the courier's website and track it as well. And you know, the next step above that is GPS tracking. So couriers like Render now have live GPS tracking. So you can literally see your package when it's on its way. You can tell how far away it is. And I saw a video the other day, and it was purely around the psychology of like on-demand delivery and also on-demand like taxis, and being able to, rather than here it's going to be 15 minutes away, see it on a map and see how far away it actually is. Just the positive endorphins that come from that, and the less stress that comes from that as well, is has some huge psychological benefits. So I think being able to see where an order is at, both by tracking notifications and then the final step being live GPS tracking, you can really see why customer expectations are continuing to grow on that.
Yeah, great. James?
Yeah, I think, look, in terms of what Jeff said, I think people really view that tracking experience as extremely important. What we've tended to find, and something that I think sort of gets a bit left behind in this conversation, is the operational efficiencies that something like live tracking can give you. We've seen internally 81% of a reduction in return to senders since we actually launched our live tracking. So it's not just the experience the customer gets, but also the operational side from a retailer's point of view that comes as a result of imposing tracking like live GPS. Even looking at the likes of AusPost and what they see. 74% of customers said that real-time tracking is important to them, and delivering notifications, status updates along the journey is imperative in improving the online experience. So it's something we prioritize at Render, is informing that customer along the journey. There's the email, the SMS, but going that step further in it. And it also talks to the certainty and transparency Laura was touching on before. For a customer to be able to see that order from store to door in real time, it reduces all those customer support tickets because the customer knows when the order is going to arrive. In addition to that, adding in things like delivery ETAs on your live tracking page, like for example, order's going to arrive in 14 minutes, order's going to arrive in 10 minutes. It's just giving that added certainty to the customer that the order will be here at this certain time, as opposed to sort of leaving them in the dark. So I think that's such an important part of the experience is that tracking to keep customers informed, but to also, from a retailer's point of view, sort of limit those issues that come as a result from an operational standpoint.
No, that's awesome. Thank you. So that's it for questions. But obviously all attendees will have this sent out to them. So if you do have any more, just reply. And we at Starship It can get any questions answered by the right people. But yeah, I'd like to thank all our panelists for joining us today. It's been so awesome to learn from everyone. And yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks, Callum.
Thanks, guys.
Great day.
Thanks.